Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I've got to run to keep from hell, and I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more
win to the NLDS, yes.
But I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMahon.
Yeah!
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
Yes, sir. 1202. Mick Monagle here with you. Rosenberg's here, as you can tell. Yeah, I know you haven't done it yet. It's coming. Fliegelman is waiting to take over. Fliegelman is so happy right now. It is unbelievable. The joy oozing out of him. He won't stop talking to me. He's wearing his Met jersey coming from the game. They fired his head coach. The Mets. Only the Mets. The Mets in this magic carpet ride right now. We could all wake up, or at least I did it, whenever it was, to the news that the Jets fired their head coach in the middle of the season, and I'm not going to open with it. Because the Mets are one win away from heading back to the NLCS. Ba-da-da-ba-da-da. Thank you, Paulie. Safe ride home. See ya. But that's right, one win away from the NLCS, the first appearance since obviously 2015, and this performance from Manaea, and just what this team does. I mean, the watching this team be so anti-Met, right? I mean, right now, let's just, the feeling and the vibes around this team. When Alonso hits that home run, if any nerves are still with this fan base, if any fears, much like we'll have to deal with the Yankees, and we'll do it later in the show, and we will get to Robert Saleh, obviously, in the New York Jets, 888-808-1019. But the fears of the Yankee fans are oozing from their orifices, oozing from their pores. You could get contact nervous from just standing next to a Yankee fan. And the Met fan, if it ever existed at all, heading into this game, the Alonso home run quickly alleviates that. And Alonso in this, obviously, the opposite field home runs, and you could see he goes into this game with a plan, right? He goes in, and they were talking about on the broadcast, he wasn't looking inside. He is looking outside right now since that home run in Milwaukee going the other way. That is where he's looking to drive the baseball. He gets his favorite pitcher to hit in Major League Baseball, Nola, takes him deep to right field, and immediately, this is how the Mets are going right now. Immediately, it feels like a freaking party. And they're scanning the crowd, and we got all the grimaces in the crowd, and it's just, all it takes is one run. Giancarlo Stanton gets a base hit to score the run. You're waiting for Rodon to blow up. The New York Mets, in previous adorations of this team, score one run, and you don't feel all that good about it. It doesn't automatically become a party. And the combination of what this team's been able to do, and the idea that Sean Manaea was on the mound, made that home run and the entire rest of the game feel like a freaking party. Right now, Citi Field is the place to be. It was absolutely rocking. The ticket prices are through the roof. And the vibe around this team is if they are a team of destiny that cannot be stopped. And think about what, I mean, and then you get just to the baseball of it, right? And whether it's Vientos and the play and his arm strength at third base early on in the game. Where, I mean, if he's going to play third base like this, you want to talk about superstar in the middle of the lineup for the next however many years with the New York Mets. But he's making great plays. They're getting the home runs. Winker waving to the fans again, this time in a Met uniform after an absolute bomb of a home run. But this game is about Manaea for me. And what this guy has turned into, and they will, you know, I think if I heard the word crossfire another time in the broadcast, I might have went nuts. But the way he's changed, the way he's pitching right now, mid-season, I don't know if I ever remember such an effective adjustment from a starting pitcher mid-year to become what he's become, which is really, other than the grand slam against Milwaukee at the end of the regular season, like besides that game, the guy's been unhittable for half a year. And in this game, he is just mowing them down. And really, the game for me is won in the sixth inning, where they send him back out for the sixth. He walks Schwarber, and then he has what I would deem a non-competitive at-bat against Turner. He walks Turner. The ball four was up and away, not even close. And I was nervous. And I thought to myself, you know, this might be a time. I know you don't have the bullpen up just yet, but I know you want to get out Harper. But even if he gets out Harper, I might have somebody up for Castellanos, because I didn't like that walk to Turner. And he comes right back, strikes out Harper swinging on three sweepers, and then gets Castellanos to line into the double play. And that was the game. And right now, that's how the Mets are going. The Phillies have an opportunity a game. That's about it. They have one opportunity a game to beat them. That's how, if you're going to play the New York Mets right now, you better not squander your opportunity. And Diaz afforded them one in game two, and that's why the series was tied. The Philadelphia Phillies took advantage of their one opportunity in the game. And in game three, that sixth inning, with the leadoff walk to Schwarber after, I believe, getting ahead on him and then walking him, the non-competitive at-bat where he really just lost the zone against Turner, and then striking out Bryce Harper, and then getting Nick Castellanos to line out for the double play, that's the game. And from that point on, they obviously add runs where it looks like they have bases loaded. And again, the bounce back. And A.J. Pierzynski said it on the broadcast, which I thought was funny. Sometimes you got to bounce back when the other team scores runs, but sometimes you got to bounce back when the other team doesn't score runs. Well, then I suppose just bouncing back at any point is important. But they get through that, and then they go to the bottom of the sixth, and they have their inning and get right back. And it's like, Philadelphia, you had your opportunity, and now we're going to prove to you that it's over. And they get bases loaded, nobody out, and it looks like they're going to get out of it without scoring a run and maybe giving some momentum to Philadelphia after that top of the sixth, followed by an inning where they get bases loaded, nobody out, and don't give up a run heading into the seventh, and maybe you could build a little momentum. Where Iglesias grounds out to the fielder's choice, they come home for the out at the plate, Winker with the fly ball that's not deep enough to score, and then just when you think maybe the momentum could shift, because that would be a momentum shift.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To have bases loaded with an opportunity to tag on, when that's what this team has done time and time again. If they make one more pitch to Marte, maybe Philadelphia can build some momentum. But they can't, because this Met team is not going to get the bases loaded and not score a run. Bases loaded, nobody out, and not capitalize? Not this Met team. Maybe in 2022. Maybe, you know, under different circumstances, before the magic has hit this team, before the meeting, before Lindor hitting leadoff, before Mendoza joined along, before Stearns came on board. This other versions of the New York Mets team might be able to get bases loaded, nobody out, but not score. Not this Met team. And that Marte single obviously changes the game from a bloop and a blast to now a four-run lead. And that's it. And then you still send out Manaea for the seventh, which I thought again was a mistake. I understand you want to push him. I understand his pitch count. But that's, you get through that inning. You have a natural, and they talked about this on the broadcast too. I actually think comparing the broadcast, I don't want to compare the Yankees and Mets all together, but this broadcast compared to what the Yankees are dealing with, night and day. And Pruszynski said, like, after you get through that inning and the emotion of that double play in the sixth, it's a release. These are big, high-pressure games. I understand it's only 80 pitches, but each one of those are high-pressured throughout the entire game, and he just walked off the mound after getting out of the jam that could have cost him to send him back out there. I thought it was a mistake, but immediately he gets through the inning, no problem. It's one of the quickest innings he has in the entire game. Boehm swings at the first pitch and grounds out the third, and he gets through the seventh, and they send him out for the eighth. This Manaea and what he's become for this team, and watching and thinking about what Stearns has done with the rotation, guys that were at the time, Manaea signed to be traded at the deadline. Severino is signed to hope to, you know, get a good first half and move on from him. And instead, these are the guys bringing you to the brink of the NLCS. This is a guy changing the kind of pitch. This is a guy relegated to the bullpen last year in San Francisco. This is a guy struggling to find himself since a couple of good years out in Oakland. And here he is in the biggest game against their biggest rival and the first time they've ever played them in the playoffs, coming home for the first time in 2 weeks with controlling the magic, with controlling their fate, with controlling an opportunity to continue this, move on, get to the NLCS against either a Dodger team or a Padres team as now they take the lead 2-1. But everything on the line for this guy to come through, and he gives you 7+, and he gets through every big jam. What a remarkable performance, and what a turn that this team has taken, man. It's crazy. And then you get to the seventh inning, even, when they add another bunch of runs, when Iglesias gets the base hit. You know, Bader's thrown out stealing second base. He's out. And Turner can't catch the ball. And you know with this team, if Philadelphia makes a mistake, like not catching a ball on a perfect throw from Realmuto to throw out Bader, when they make that mistake, this Met team is going to capitalize. That's it. You walk the bases loaded. I don't care if you get the first two outs. They're going to capitalize. You give us an extra out, we're going to capitalize. They have been an absolute force of winning baseball. It's not always perfect. They've been shut down offensively through long stretches of the games. Right? They've blown a game with their bullpen on a couple of occasions. They've been down to their last final two outs. It has not been necessarily dominance, but it has been a sustained stretch of playing winning baseball, capitalizing on others' mistakes, bouncing back off of bad performances, bouncing back off of bad innings, bouncing back after bad games, making adjustments. Alonso, who couldn't get a big hit to save his life, has now hit 3 home runs, all of them the other way. In a game where the ball really didn't seem to be carrying early on, Schwarber, I thought, got it and was just short. And yet, nothing stops this team. And even if they lose later today, and I don't think they will, but even if they lose later today, Met fans, call me up, 888-808-1019. Tell me, are you afraid going to Philadelphia? I don't care if they get blown out. I don't care if Diaz blows the game. I don't care if, you know, Quintana's arm falls off. Like, I don't care what happens. I expect the Mets to win today, but even if they don't, even if it's a gut punch, even if Philadelphia is down to their last strike and find a way, I don't care. Would you be nervous heading to Philadelphia? Sure, there'd be some, you know, normal, healthy nerves. But the idea that the Mets couldn't win that game, there is no circumstance where the Mets can't win this series. None. None. And there is no circumstance that the Mets can't win the next one. Or dare I say, the whole damn thing. And if that's not, I mean, is that a bit much? Maybe. Am I counting my chickens before they hatch? Maybe. But right now, if there's ever felt like a team to do it with, if there's ever felt like a team to get behind, if there's ever felt like a bunch of guys who, for whatever reason, seem to all be pulling in the same direction and being able to do this consistently at a level I don't think I've ever seen. We've seen winning like this. I mean, you have to go back. But even in this town, right? How many World Series games in a row did the Dynasty Yankees win? But they didn't do it with this just unbelievable nature and knack for pulling these games out of the fire like this. Now, this game wasn't pulled out of the fire necessarily. This is the first time where they've actually held a lead, got a lead and kept it. But man, oh man, this is just, this team is so much fun to watch. This team does everything you would want your team to do, other than just go out there and pound everybody and win 10 to nothing and be a dominant force. Other than that, and this is probably even more fun than that, but this is special. And that's why I will say this. I have to just give you a little bit of dose of reality. Because now where you are, and I've heard multiple Met fans say it. My buddy Met fans have said it. Even I heard Frank the Tank say it. And his attitude has completely changed. And God bless him. He deserves some positivity. But what I will say, I don't ever want to hear house money again. I don't want to hear they're playing with house money, and even if they lose, wow, what a season. I'm sorry. You have to capitalize on what the Mets are doing right now. In 2 weeks, 3 weeks, could you look back on this fondly? Of course you will. Of course you will. But what happens in 3 or 4 years when this window of, oh, Stearns and Cohen and, you know, building from within, and imagine what he could do with, you know, a full complement of the purse strings ready to go in the offseason and this and that. You have no idea. We have no idea. You could look back, as Yankee fans look back on 2017 and say, man, I thought that was the beginning of one. I thought that was the beginning of multiple championships. And here we are desperate to hang on to try and get back to where we were that year. Still haven't come that close. You have to win this series now, two up, for sure. Because as much as you want to say it's house money and this team's playing with no pressure, now there's pressure. You can't lose this series. And let's see how the Mets finally deal with some pressure. Because even in the wild card series, sure, you take the lead 1-0, there's some pressure, and you're down clearly to your last couple outs. That's always pressure. But heading in where you can't lose. Now they can't lose. You can't lose two games in a row. You can't have this magical run end by Philadelphia sticking it to you in City Field and then going back home and moving on. Like, the Mets have to win this series now. And we'll see how they respond. But if it's anything like how they've responded to every other possible test or situation, I think we all know how they will respond. And that's with winning baseball. And that's with good at-bats. And that's with capitalizing on mistakes and limiting their own to a level of which we haven't seen in this town in forever. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. And as we start the show talking about a stable franchise that's gotten hot here and winning a bunch of playoff games, and the future is bright, so bright you got to wear shades. We will make sure we touch on the other franchise in town who made news today, who continues to show why they are as inept and dysfunctional as possibly any franchise, not only in this town, not only in the NFL, but in all of professional sports, as Robert Saleh was let go earlier today. So we got to get to that. We'll preview Yankees game number 3 out in Kansas City, a game that the Yankees must win with Clark Schmidt on the mound. But we'll start with the unbelievable, undeniable New York Mets.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.